قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا إلى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأصحاب الرس وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسل فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum. On behalf of Light of Guidance, the Zainabia Center, and Al Ajal Detroit, we'd like to welcome everybody to Deen Discussions with our respected Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani. We'd like to, on our behalf, offer our congratulations to the entire Muslim Ummah on the blessed month of Shahr Ramadan, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is a month of barakah for us all and that we can all take advantage of the opportunity of this very unique Shahr Ramadan. Inshallah. So today, our topic of discussion is moral excellence in times of trial. And inshallah, this is going to be something a little bit different than a traditional lecture. We hope that this is going to be a live interactive discussion. Our audience can text or WhatsApp their questions to 313-444-9532. And inshallah, what we're going to be doing is our respected Sheikh Osama will begin with a short lecture or discussion around the topic of moral excellence in times of trial. And then after that, we will have a little bit of a dialogue back and forth. I'll be asking some questions, and anybody who sends in their questions, inshallah, I will be sharing those for the Sheikh as well. Our only request is that inshallah, everybody please keep the questions relevant to the topic of discussion, that inshallah will become more clear with Mawlana Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani's discussion that will begin. And bismillah.
Thank you. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wa ala ahli bayt al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'asumin. La siyama baqiyatullah fil aradhin. Ruhi wa arwahu al-alameen lahu al-fidah. Rabb ishrah li sadri wa yasir li amri. Wa ahlul uqtatan min lisani yafqahu.
So today's reminder is about, or I would call it being self-aware. And what happens is we're going to take a nice or a good look at ourselves and learn to recognize our own flaws. That's going to be the idea. Now, when I talk about flaws and us coming to recognize our own flaws, in no way do I mean that this should break the confidence that Islam wants to have us as believers have. There is a special confidence that we have with reliance on Allah and not on ourselves. I thought a few lines from Imam Khomeini, may Allah raise him with Ahlul Bayt, would be beneficial in this regard. He says this, never think that you cannot. Always think that you can. Always think God is with you. Always think that Islam is your sharaf, it's your honor and your dignity. And always think that Islam must be strengthened by you. So those are the ways we're supposed to think about ourselves, but at the same time, we also, practically speaking, are trying to better ourselves, especially in line of what we're thinking about, which is the coming of the Imam, which we always hope for, we always work for. Every situation is one that makes us try and say, well, what can we do to shorten the amount of time of time that we are away from our Imam? We have a beautiful verse of the Quran, Surah 8, verse number 53, where Allah says this, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُوا مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That is because Allah never changes a blessing that He has bestowed on a people unless they change what is in their own souls. So the presence of the Imam is a blessing. If we see that the Imam is not with us, it's because of things we've done. And what we want to do is to practically say, okay, well, what can I do in order to hasten the reappearance of the Imam? For this reason, it's necessary for us to get to know our flaws better. So one of the key steps, practical steps to self-building is to recognize our own flaws. And we learn from the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam that this is so beneficial. Knowledge of our own flaws is so beneficial. This is from Imam Ali. مَعْرِفَةُ الْمَرْءِ بِعُيُوبِهِ مِنْ أَنْفَعِ الْمَعَارِفِ. Amongst the most beneficial of the sciences, the best things to know is when we know what our flaws are. If we were to know what our own flaws are, then we're going to find that the flaws of those who are around us. Right now we're in quarantine, right now we're dealing with other individuals, our close companions, we're living under one roof, we're spending more time with those who we're closest to, and then we sometimes notice flaws that have been there in the past, but now sometimes they're more apparent for us. We're noticing them more. They're getting on our nerves more. We don't have those distractions. But if we can work on looking at the flaws that we have, it'll be more, we'll find it easier to tolerate the flaws of those who are around us. One of the problems of those who recognize that their spouse, for instance, their children have certain flaws, and then they feel, let's say with a marriage, early in a marriage, they feel that they've made a mistake, they chose the wrong person, is that they've forgotten to look inward at their own flaws. If we see ourselves as being littered with flaws, then we see somebody else also has flaws. It's easier to tolerate that person. This is what Imam Ali says. He says, "Man nasiya khati'ata," that person who forgets his or her flaws, "ista'azama khati'ata ghayrihi." When they find out somebody else has a flaw, then they're just like, oh my God, how can you think that it's not a big deal? And then kind of, oh, well, you know, that's okay. For ourselves, if there's a flaw that if we found it in somebody else, we would think it's a big deal. Then when it comes to ourselves, we have to definitely be trying to work on that and fix it. Not just lip service, not just the traditional cop-out. We all have, no. That means we actually have to search for the flaws. We have to look hard and try to find, what are my flaws? What's keeping the imam back? What's keeping me from getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Ali again says the hadith, "Man talaba aiban wajada." The person who looks for his or her flaws will then find those flaws. Now, in order to fix flaws and to recognize those flaws and to journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of them is to learn to accept constructive criticism, because that's part of the ways of us becoming aware of our own flaws. We remember the only reason for us to get married, the main reason for us to get married, is to become godly, to become ilahi, to reflect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect His divine traits. And how can we reflect His divine traits if we have traits in us that the Ahlul Bayt have said not to have? We have to find out what those things are. What happens then is that if we are ignorant of those flaws, then that's a big problem. So I'm looking for help from my spouse or those who are around me, those who interact with me, so that I can find out what my flaws are. This is what the hadith says. Imam Ali again, he says, "Kafa bil mar'i jahlan an yajhala 'uyuba nafsi." It is sufficient for a man that he is unaware of his own flaws. What else do we need if I don't know what my own flaws are? So what happens is, in this way, we're looking for another pair of eyes to help us. I know what my goal is. My goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for me to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to rid myself of my flaws. I'm trying, as the Imam says, those who look for their flaws, they're able to find them. So I'm looking and I'm finding, but what happens is just my eyes aren't enough. I need another pair of eyes. So in this way, we actually value those who gift us by taking us aside and telling us our flaws. This is the hadith of the Imam. Again, from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, today is the day we have a lot of dhikr of Imam Ali alayhi salam. "Man abana laka aibak fahuwa waduduk." The person who reveals your flaws to you, takes you aside, who kindly, gently shares your flaws with you, this person is actually your true friend. This person loves you in reality. If we are the kind of people who know a flaw about someone and the grounds are prepared, because this one actually we have to spend time talking on, not in this particular talk, but over the course of the discussion or maybe other discussions. Sometimes I realize a flaw about somebody, and the grounds are there for me to help that person. If I were to hide this flaw now that I know it, or to save it to use when they make a mistake to then get them back, to hide a flaw from another believer is actually enmity towards that believer. The hadith is this, again from Amir al-Mu'mineen, "Man sataraka aibak," the person who knowingly, willingly, for no good reason, hides your flaw from you, "fahuwa aduwwuk." This person is actually your enemy. In order to do this, we have to change the culture in our homes, and we have to start with ourselves, where we are no longer hyper-defensive. We're actually welcoming of constructive criticism. What happens is the way that it's viewed right now is that criticism, any kind of criticism, many times is viewed as something which is there to tear me down, to hurt me, as opposed to the idea that this is bettering me and this is helping me on my journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the idea would be that we need to change this and make sure that we start with ourselves and then after that others. And this way, inshallah, if we can recognize our flaws, we can take a big practical step towards getting better, inshallah.
Santum Maulana, thank you so much. Okay, so inshallah, I have a few couple questions of my own, but we're going to begin with some of the questions that are coming in. So the first question says, how does one correct a spouse who gets angry when a flaw is brought up? What if he or she denies it completely? Or what if his or her lens is correct? So this is a loaded question, several in one. You want to take them all at once, or should I
Let's hear them first, and then we'll figure them out, inshallah. Okay.
What if his or her lens is incorrect? What should one say to such a person who says, well, I have changed a lot, but in reality, the flaw keeps coming up for, they say, more than a decade. So, yeah, several questions in one. I guess maybe we can start with the first one. So how does one correct a spouse who does get angry when a flaw is brought up? So you're saying that, you know, we should be open to, number one, we should personally want to find our own flaws.
Right, because the idea was, at least in this discussion, that we would start with ourselves. Right. there's one time when we already have the gun loaded, we're ready to take somebody else out. But first one, we're starting with ourselves. Mm-hmm. But then after that, okay, so now I'm the kind of person who, not meaning I am living with a person mm-hmm. who gets angry, actually, when a flaw is brought up. Mm-hmm. So what should I do? Mm-hmm. And then, we'll start off, inshallah, because what I want to do is, there are several important answers, practical answers. Let me just try and share them one by one and then see how much of them we're able to get through so that we don't make it too much, but at the same time, we make it beneficial. One of the things that we want to do is, when should I share the flaw? Mm-hmm. If I have a spouse who gets angry, or for instance, they're in a bad mood. So as soon as one idea will be, as soon as they come home from work, honey, you're home, thank you. You know, now that you're here, let me share a flaw. Alhamdulillah, you can benefit, inshallah. But another time, we kind of wait till the time is right. And if we're waiting till the time is right, then that means proactive patience. Proactive patience means that I'll give you an example. If we were to have a scab on our skin, and then we are to peel that scab before it gets ready, it would make it worse. Sometimes we have to let things heal or people heal. So one of the ideas would be that I wait for that right time because I'm trying to help them get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want my words to have some effect on them. I'm not just saying it to have said it. I'm really trying to help this person. So if I see that right now my spouse isn't receptive, then one of the things that I want to do is to make sure that I wait until that time which is appropriate. But waiting doesn't mean that I just sit, put my hands one on the other, and I just wait until that time. There's some steps that we should do. I'm just going to mention two, and then after that, go back to the question. One of them is making sure we shower that person with love.
So not withholding it because, you know, you're not doing your part, so...
Right, let me punish you in order to reform you. I'll withdraw love in order to reform you. Sometimes that's a mistake that we make, actually. And we end up with that criticism being the only weapon in our arsenal. Mm-hmm. Whereas we human beings, we respond to those who we love. So if I'm making sure to shower my spouse with love, then that actually is making me more effective in mm-hmm. trying to help them again get to Allah. Because it's not about me just saying this. I'm trying to help this person get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two would be the idea of respecting the person. Respecting the person. Next would be the time when I'm going to, the place when I'm going to do it. So if I want to help this person, then obviously I'm not going to do it in front of somebody else. I take the person aside, it's me and the spouse, the time is appropriate, and now I'm going to share my thoughts with them. Some people are willing to hear criticism, but if I do it in front of others, then that definitely brings out a reaction. The person mm-hmm. feels that kind of negative sense that I'm going to tear them down.
They have to defend themselves.
They have to defend themselves, whereas this one is literally just taking the person aside. The other one was kind of mentioned over here, because the person says, well, I have changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Right? But this particular flaw keeps coming up, but they have changed a lot. One of the important things for us to keep in mind is to see the good that the person is doing, mm-hmm. and to mention that, and to share that. So there's one time when this person is defending themselves, they're like, well, I have changed a lot. One time we've acknowledged that, and we start off the conversation with all of the good things, meaning, first of all, it's not the only conversation that we have. We've been building up the right environment. And then now, when we see the time is appropriate, we start off with the many wonderful things that they're doing. And then mm-hmm. again, after we finish, we share some of the things that we want to say to the person. So mm-hmm. that kind of idea of sandwiching it, then that would be good. And then also, inshallah, you know, hopefully Allah will provide that help and that mm-hmm. assistance.
Right. So then with some of the other questions that were within that question, okay. like what if they're denying it completely? What if their mm-hmm. lens is incorrect? Are those kind of answered by what you've already said that, like, you know, you're trying to point out to them that, you know, X, Y, and Z are what you're doing and they're wrong and they're, you know, denying it, or they maybe see things from a different lens. Maybe they're not looking at it from like the proper Islamic perspective. So is this also kind of like within that idea of, you know, like being proactively patient, you know, still treating them with love, treating them with respect, and then just kind of like through your own treatment of them, waiting until they kind of on their own develop the ability to recognize that they're doing something wrong as opposed to denying it. So would that be part of, you know, the prescription, I guess, that you gave before?
So maybe in this way, let me, because those are good points, but let me see if I can add something that maybe is beneficial. So we're saying that this person is in complete denial of the flaw. Mm-hmm. That's at least one of the ways. Mm-hmm. One time the person knows it, but then they're maybe a little right. defensive about it.
Right.
If they're in complete denial of it, then I have to actually help them to change their worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe if it's really the case of complete denial, that this is not even happening, mm-hmm. then a couple of things to keep in mind. As believers, we don't argue for the sake of arguing, just to go over and I'm going to beat you. I'm not trying to do that in this particular argument. Secondly, would be that, okay, well, if this person, their view is wrong, then I have to help them change that view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I get from the question, though, is that it's not necessarily the case that the person is completely in denial of it, because they're saying, if this is the same question, that I've changed a lot, mm-hmm. this isn't such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we might want to keep in mind then is the idea of sometimes, this one we have to be a little careful about though, if there was a person who they respected who could share this in the right manner.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the rules of trying to help change somebody is that you always want to protect that barrier, the inner barrier that should be there in a family.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is that some people go over and they share the flaws of their spouse to others, which is detrimental. I might be doing riba, I might be going over, I'm telling everybody else, this person is like this, they have this problem or that mm-hmm. problem. So keeping that in mind, that we keep these things private, we don't go over tell our friends or other people about this thing.
Right.
But again, with the idea that I'm trying to help this person to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know that there's a person, perhaps in their family, mm-hmm. who if they said it, the person is wise enough, they could convey my message in better words.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm not trying to tear them down or share it with everybody, but this, again, only to help the person. And again, doing all of those other steps,